Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Of course, it's not going to do it.
Contra Radio Network presents Ladies of the Watch.
Well, welcome to Ladies of the Watch. There it goes. Well, that was different. If you are a connoisseur of the beginning of Ladies of the Watch scripts, that is a new one. I'm Julie, and I'm the host. And for the first time, I think, since Christmas, I am on my own. I'm trying to do this in a new way because I own my own business, and I have a lot of previous engagements over the next coming month. So I'm going to try to do this on pre-taped and won't be able to take phone calls for a little while. I will make sure that in the future, when I'm able to do it live and take calls, that I will post it on the page when I create a new show. Tonight, I'm going to talk about prepping that can get you killed. As moms and as preppers, we prep because we want to save our families. I mean, we have this idea that something will eventually happen, not necessarily overthrow the government or anything like that, although that's looking more and more likely that we're heading towards the Civil War. But things like the tornadoes in the Midwest, earthquakes, volcanic activity. We've got threats of war with Korea, North Korea. We have all sorts of just issues. And so as a mom, I want to protect my kids. I figure with my disability limitations that I'll do the best I can, but it's highly unlikely that I would survive anything where we had to run or protect ourselves. So my prepping is geared towards my children. But one of the things that we don't think about is in our prepping, okay, we're putting together these things. We're trying to come up with all these scenarios and all these situations where we could possibly prepare for ourselves. But sometimes they will cause problems and they could get us killed. So I'm going to try to break this down into a few sections. This may not run a whole hour. It may run a whole hour. I'm not sure. Like I say, I'm not real good at talking to myself for an hour. I have bouts of it indiscriminately throughout the day, but it never lasts quite that long. But the first one that I thought I would talk about is from my conflicted site. You know, I have conflicted on Facebook, and I ran this question along the page to see what some of the people were saying. And my question on the conflicted site was, what are some of the things we do as preppers that could get us killed? And then explain. And some of the answers were talking about prepping or telling people that you're a prepper. Poor storage of food, meaning many things, I suppose. You could only put up rice and beans, or you might not put enough food away. There were messages of overconfidence. One gal says, telling your kids too much. Yes, they should know how to survive. They should know some stuff. But kids have the tendencies to trust their friends, boyfriends, and girlfriends, and they aren't going to tell you that they told them. So you're one of those, I know my kid. They wouldn't do that. Don't be surprised when you have a family or two at your doorstep if shit hits the fan. We'll come back to that one. That's a really good one. Another person says, not testing your bug out bag to see if the stuff will actually keep you alive. One of the guys says, focusing too much on firearms and not enough on close quarters self-defense. That's an issue for us women. Another one says, building a food supply but neglecting a way to grow more. Relying on your gear only and not learning any skills. Trusting the wrong people. I think that will just lose what you need. There are now web pages designed for people who are studying that very thing right now. Underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. Yes, we have a gal that lives in England. She says, live in England. You are not allowed to have many, many benefits that we have here. excuse me, I still have this cold. The idea that you need people with skills and resources, neglecting to consider the personalities of the people you will be living with for quite possibly an extended period of time, or personal compatibility. Another gal says, worrying so much about prepping, you die from stress before shit ever happens. One of the gals who's a fireman in our group placing all your flammables together with all the rest of your preps. Prepare the one scenario you're most worried about, but then you have no plans to deal with any other possibilities. So those were some of the things that my group had thought of. And those are really good key points to talk about. I'll start with talking about prepping. You know, I've come on the show and I've spoke about my prepping and such, but I never really gave a lot of information about it until my house caved in. At that point, I had to get rid of all my preps. There was no way for me to keep them safe up here. I couldn't store them in a storage shed. And when I move, it's going to be almost impossible for me to take cost effectively what I had to relocate to a new spot. So I took my stuff, kept the key items out, and put them in a storage shed, and then I gave away everything else. Now, that was really, really, really hard. If you're an ingrained prepper like I am and have been doing it your whole life, that's like slitting your throat. That's like giving things up. It was like pulling teeth, pulling blood out of my body. I cried for days. But you know what? I look at it as this has given me new life, this personal disaster that I had with my roof. It's brought people together to help me, which a lot of them were the CRN listeners, and I greatly, greatly appreciate that. You gave me enough backup to rent a storage shed for the stuff that I am going to keep. And I was able to give enough preps away to people I had been cultivating as preppers and get them enough for probably almost a year of food storage and backup preps. There's knowledge involved and things like that, but it gave them a good start. And that gave me an opportunity to bless somebody else. And in return, maybe they can do that to other people. And I was told that if I ever have to come back, they would help my kids survive because of what I gave them. So that in itself was a benefit. But talking about your preps, talking about what you have, how can that get you killed? Well, we've talked about marauders. We've talked about people who are too lazy to go out, or people who are just prepping guns so they can come and take your stuff. Obviously, if you are telling people that you have this, or in my situation, everybody up here in the hill knows I'm the crazy lady with all the animals that gives food away to those who need it. I help with medical. I help with that. That's just a lifestyle to me. And I never had thought about that as a way of somebody saying, oh, she's got all that stuff. If something happens, we're going to go take it. But that is a very real situation. Moms, when you're single moms and you have kids, or you have a husband that doesn't prep, or you are a couple that preps, you do have to consider OPSEC, which is operational security, meaning don't give out too much information. Don't have so much stuff around your house where it's obvious that you have things. I read an article about a gentleman that went into a place. He found an ad on Craigslist, and he wanted to buy this, whatever it was, for sale. Well, he went into this to go pick it up, and he said, I drove down this long driveway, really long driveway, and it had things like old plows and wagons. They had horses, they had goats, they had chickens. He said, but none of that was visible from the road. None of it was visible past the gate until you started getting closer to the house. And he noticed that everything that he drove by was used as just lawn ornamentation. It was worked into it was worked into the landscaping of the property. So it didn't stand out on its own. It was just decorations. But when you started looking at it closer, you could see these people were prepping, and they were applying things that they needed in plain sight where it looked like decoration. And so if the shit hits the fan, they would have all these things that they could use, but it wasn't immediately obvious. And in prepper communities, we call that the gray man out in these areas. You want to blend in. You don't want to stand out. Telling your kids things, like one of the gals said, that's a big one for me. I have two kids. My oldest thinks I'm a nut job, but he has learned his skills, and he's applying them in his own manner. My youngest is gung-ho prepping, but he comes home every so often and says, so-and-so wants to go up with me next time I bug out, or, you know, I've told these guys and they all want to come. Well, that's pretty much trashed my OPSEC right there. And he knows better. He's 15, but he still talks and he still thinks he can trust people. But they don't realize that once you have a breakup or once you fight with your friend, everything is fair game. So that's a huge consideration. That's probably, in my opinion, the most important is OPSEC. Don't ask, don't tell. When you start finding people that you can trust and building a small group, then you can kind of weed out your information a little bit at a time and make sure that they've got, you know, that they're trustable. Sorry, hang on a second. The next thing I would say is skills for me. This is my personal list in order. I've developed skills since I was probably 3-4 years old. My parents had us out in the garden that young, watering and weeding. As I grew up, and you guys have heard this before, we've canned and we picked and we went, we had a massive garden, and it was my job growing up to weed and water the garden every after school. And then when we were ready for harvest, we'd all pick, we'd all can, we'd all freeze, we'd dehydrate. And we lived on that food. That was our thing. We were pretty poor. And to this day, I can never eat Spanish rice. We grew up eating Spanish rice every freaking day, practically. My brother can't eat navy bean soup because of the same reason. Those were our staples in the house. Don't get into that rut where you think you have to put up 4 years of beans and rice and nothing else. You know, you'll be able to go out and find the rest or grow the rest. That's not necessarily true. Up here this year, our winter, as you know, we had 6 feet overnight and my roof caved in. Well, my growing season last year was crap. I got very little out of my garden last year. Plants didn't want to grow. I think some of it was probably the planes flying overhead, dropping whatever they were dropping. Not in a conspiracy theory type of way, but they do spray here for bugs and whatnot. And I don't know what they did, but my garden did not grow last year. I also had deer. Deer and elk know that this is the free smorgasbord lady, and they come in as soon as it starts poking its head out of the ground. They come and nip off all my stuff. Cougars came in last year, took a lot of my rabbits and about three quarters of my chickens. It was just a bad year for us. And you're going to have that in good times and in bad. So right now, when it's in good times and I have had 5 years of preps, I could rebound from that. But what if shit hits the fan and your garden doesn't grow, cougars take your livestock, you get 6 foot of snow in the winter, your power goes out, your roof crashes in on your preps. You know, you have to have alternative sources and alternative skills and alternative ways of dealing with these things, which I do. I'm human, though, and I have to say, when the roof caved in, my first week was really, really black and bleak. Emotionally, mentally, physically challenging all the way around. It's hard when you lose everything at once, and it's hard to rebound. I mean, we talk about it, we do it, and I've done it a billion times, but it's different when you're 21 and you're prepping and you're young and you're full of life and you're energetic and you can climb a mountain. And it's different when you're my age, which you guys will never know, but you're not quite as athletic or and you've got a few challenges disability-wise. Mine are mostly knees now. But I can't pop back the way I could. So my prepping also is cerebral. It's also mentally, emotionally challenging. And we need to overcome that as well. If you're unable to do that, or you're unable to see the big picture in the negative as well as the positive, then that could kill you. That's a really big, important thing I think many preppers don't think about. That's why we started Conflicted in the first place. But you have to be mentally and physically ready to step up to do anything. I've morphed over the last few years. When I first started the Conflicted group, I was, we're going to share with everybody, and I'll help everybody, and I know I'm going to be taken advantage of, and then started morphing to, well, what if they start coming and trying to take my stuff? I can't help myself. To look at all the crap that's out there, to now it's like I probably would shoot first and ask questions later. Not quite. I'm not at that point because I still am medical at heart, and we just look at things differently. But those are some of the things that are going to get you killed. I'm going to talk about bug out bags right now. Some of the things on bug out bags, I've been working on mine for about 4 years. And I've had many, many, many different loads in it, plans and systems. And I've changed it over time. Because for me, I can't carry it and run. My bug out was always on my horses. I had a bag that I could throw over one of my saddles on a horse, and I could fill it up to about almost 100 pounds, and that would have everything I needed for a long time in it. But then I sold my horses because I'm planning on moving, and I'll get some more when I get to where I'm going. But everything now is consolidated into one that I can carry myself. Many matches in one. Many people believe in the rule of one is none and two is one. I found this in this article in a prepping site, which I will give you here at the end because I can't see it right this second. This gentleman took the words out of my mouth, so I'm just going to read this article and let you know what he says. But we think very similar. He says, many people believe in the rule of one is none and two is one. I, too, myself believe in this rule, just not for bug-out bags in every case. Many people stock matches at home, which is wise. However, in a bug-out situation, the lighter and longer-lasting option is best. Two Bic lighters can weigh less than a reasonably sized box of matches and will last much longer. Survival gear that uses different batteries sizes. Tech is always helpful in a survival situation, but not if the batteries are all different and packing spare ends up, leaving you with a lot of bulk in your kit. You can use foil to make smaller batteries fit gear that uses a larger battery type, which will save you weight if you need to. If you depend on a wide range of batteries to power your gear, you're asking for trouble. A safe rule of thumb is to buy a kit that will take a battery a size or two bigger than the smallest. Now, these guys are hardcore, and you have to remember that every ounce, if all you're doing is living out of your pack, every ounce is going to count. But sometimes taking the extra weight and learning to carry it is worth the trouble, and I'll explain that at the end. He has pans, plates, knives, and forks. Many people carry collapsible bowls, cups, even pans in their bug-out bag. At the end of the day, it's simply not worth it. Get yourself a fairly decent stove with a pot and pan lid system. This gives you everything you need in a lightweight, compact form. As for knives, forks, and spoons, your environment provides everything you need to make these tools. That said, a spork would serve all your needs if so inclined to stick with utensils. The writer personally uses a small wooden spoon. The reason behind this is that it's lightweight, made of good wood for tinder shaving if need be, and won't scratch the Teflon pan coating of my gear. Several preppers also carry cutting boards. The reason is sound. However, again, these things can be scavenged and made in your environment. By cutting these things, we have one less thing to carry, wash, and maintain. So cutting your weight, the whole point of this bug-out bag essential thing that would kill you is that it's cutting your weight. And some of these are harmful. He has energy bars and drinks. Athletes, bodybuilders, and general sporting men and women use them on a regular or even daily basis. So what could be wrong with stocking them in your bug-out bag? Well, you did buy the right kind for your needs, energy and protein, right? Well, think again. Energy bars and drinks have a startling variety of contents and nutritional values. Many, like Clif Bars and Marathon Energy Bars, contain a large amount of protein. Different bars, of course, will vary in a few hundred calories. These standard bars will supply you with what you need. However, they're lacking in nutritional value. Other bars will supply you with these nutrients, and that said, you can cause yourself harm with overloading your system. This can lead to becoming sick or suffering from illnesses such as diarrhea. You can combat this by drinking and eating things that you find as well if you're bugging out. But once again, you need the skills to find out what is safe in your area to supplement. Too much protein will be an issue. Too much carbs are an issue. Too much sugars are an issue. So you've got to plan on this when you're thinking about your situation. Survival guides. Survival guides should make up a large part of prepper's library, either in digital or paper. So what could be wrong with having a guide in your bug out bag? In theory, absolutely nothing. They can be a vital part of surviving and an invaluable source of information. The problem that does arise, however, is does it suit my environment and needs? For people who live in the outback or a mild to tropical climate, will get a lot more use from more survival guides than those who live in urban environments or places that do not have such diverse range of wild edibles and wildlife. There's so many cases of experienced hikers and survivalists who poison themselves or even die because they depended on their guides when identifying edibles. The way to solve this issue is to take what you need from each guide and compile your own specific to your own bug out bag route and location. I've said that many, many times before. For example, if you, this gentleman lives in Japan. Many of the guides I own do not cover many of the food sources that I have in my surrounding environment that are safe to eat. More importantly, the ones that are not. So take the time to research what's more relevant to you and compile your own guidebook of information based on your needs. A wire saw is a useful tool, but nothing compared to a folding saw. They have their uses and advantages, size and weight. However, in regarding to cutting power, energy, and calories used, they don't make it a dependable choice. The connectors for the handles are also usually not strong enough for prolonged use. And the last one I'm going to talk about here is water purification systems. How can it possibly get you into a bad situation or worse? The answer is simple. What do you do if it breaks or it gets damaged and wears out? Without a means or the knowledge of how to maintain or repair your filter, it could just become dead weight. Before you use it, you should read the manual, check the website for common issues and how to solve them. Some filters also may come with additional kits you can buy to service them and replace parts after long periods of use. This one kills me because I live in an area with lots and lots and lots of water. We do have Giardia. We do have flooding, which pollutes the water and does this and that. But if you have skills, you can make potable water. If you have the knowledge up here, you could not die of thirst unless you were stupid. Just off the top of my head, boiling water makes it mostly potable. Now, before you guys all start squealing, well, it's not going to take care of all the bacteria and the microorganisms and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm not drinking out of a puddle or, you know, somewhere where people are peeing next to or anything like that. You got to be smart with your water choices. You got to be smart with stuff. But most of the time, if you boil your water up here, it's safe. Now, that being said, you've got to use your brain. If it's black or if it's muddy or if there's a dead raccoon in it, that's not going to necessarily help. So you would have to build your own filter, which you can do with gravel, sand, and charcoal. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up. It's all over the net. And granted, that takes a little more time than whipping your thing out of your pack and pumping it from a puddle into your bottle. But you need to have those skills. Those are the key things for a bug out bag. I talked a little bit about the weight. I always carry wool because in my environment, wool is imperative. There's Gore-Tex, there's all these different things you can have. You can have silk, you can have that fleece, you can have this and that. I have never personally ever found anything better than wool for me. I swear by it. When I go to yard sales, I buy every wool blanket I can find. When I go to Goodwill, I buy wool and I store it. I can cut it up and make ponchos out of it, I can make coats out of it, I can make shirts out of it, I can use it as blankets, I can use it as carrying bags, I can do all sorts of stuff with it. When I was in search and rescue, I was doing a training, and I've talked about this before, 800 people started, and at the end, less than 100 of us finished. And there were military, there was all sorts of stuff in there that dropped out. people would laugh at me because I drug my wool blanket around with me everywhere. And they said, well, that's like 7 pounds of extra weight. Well, I was young and stupid and strong enough to carry it. And I carried it everywhere. And on the second month of our training, it was midwinter, about 6 degrees, sleet, rain. And our instructor fell into the river. And we pulled him out. And we were all fairly newbies, but we were trying to get a fire started while he was freezing. And I pulled out my wool blanket and I gave it to him. Well, it took them a pretty long time to get, to get the fire started, but they did manage to get it going. But he could have had hypothermia, all sorts of stuff. It was worth it. And after that, everybody always wanted to use my blanket, and I wouldn't give it to them because I carried it. I wanted to use it. I put it in my sleeping bag when I sleep, and it makes a huge difference. Okay, so we're going back to things that can get you killed. We've talked about bragging about your preps. Sometimes it's hard to resist. You spend a lot of time thinking about it, saving up, looking for good deals, and it's hard not to be proud of it, but you've got to tell people you only trust completely. Otherwise, someone's going to say, hey, remember who has all that stuff. Not having a plan. So you have water purifiers, food storage, cooking implements, first aid kits, but do you have a plan? It's important to think of what type of things that could happen in your area and how you're going to react. If you have all this stuff and the tornado takes your house away, you have nothing. What does your family need to know at that point? Do you know how to get out of your house? Do you know where you can meet up with friends and family? Do you know the best way out of town? Do you have meeting places? You've got to make sure these things are thought through ahead of time and then run a stress test to see what your plan is lacking. At the very beginning, when I first started Ladies of the Watch, I ran a challenge to shut your power off for the weekend at your house. You could start it on Friday and turn it on Sunday. And see, live out of your preps, live out of your house, and see what mistakes you make, what you need. I did that and found out that my water pump needed a gasket that had to be maintained every year because the gasket got wet, then it got dry, and then it blew a gasket. Ha, ha, ha. But it was a hand pump, and I couldn't pump my water out of my hand pump, and I had been so smug when I put that in. But that was one of the things that I had learned and would have been important because hauling water from the river to all the animals that I had at the time would have been a nightmare. Something that people don't think about in survival situations, breaking the law. If you see riots, people breaking and grabbing things, you might be tempted to grab your share. Store owners can write it off, right? But even if the store insurance owner has insurance, somebody's got to pay for it. But that kind of behavior will get you killed regardless. Number one, you're not a moral or ethical person. You could get trampled in a riot, caught in a building that's on fire, attacked by someone greedier than you are. Or the store owner could have a gun and shoot you. I'll guarantee you, come and try to take our stuff. I'm not going to be as nice as I was 4 years ago. Some of the things that will get you killed, shooting looters on site. I just said that. Three reasons why shooting looters would be a bad idea. It advertises the fact that you have guns. They may run away that first time, but they may come back and try to get you a second time or another time when you're sleeping. If you shoot at them, they may shoot back. You need to determine if your supplies are worth your life and the life of your children. If rule of law is gone, then that is different. But if it's in a gray area where law and order still could come back, you still have to operate under the rule of law. And you should defend yourself, but just make sure that it's defending yourself. I had a guy up here that was stealing livestock, and I wanted to shoot him. But the cop said I could not because livestock is not worth a human life. Now, I would argue that point saying my livestock is my life because we eat them and that's what we live off of. So, and if I had no money or no way to replace it, I let somebody just walk off with it, that's going to put me and my family at harm. So that's kind of a catch-22. Neglecting home security. If your plan is to shelter in place and you've thought about how to make your home safe, burglaries skyrocket during disasters, looters and rioters we've seen. But there's many things you can do to deter burglars. You're much better at taking precautions on making your house unattractive to people and make it look like you don't have a lot of stuff. We were talking about that gray man deal. Hiding things in plain sight, making your house look like crap. Don't brag about what you have. Sometimes getting you killed would be refusing to bug out. Since it can be difficult or dangerous, I believe it's important for you guys to learn how to shelter in place. But there are situations where you have to leave. Don't be one of the old people that die in hurricanes and wildfires because they refuse to leave the home that they've lived in for their whole lives. If there's a chance your home could be destroyed, bug out. I don't want any fan mail on that one. I'm doing what I have to do right now. As for other scenarios, take your location, your preps into account and ask what your bug out triggers are. You may want to make a list. That way you'll have made the decision in advance and won't waste time. Not purifying tap water will definitely get you killed. If you're used to what's coming out of your tap being safe, then you're going to forget how easily it can be contaminated. It can become unsafe during natural disasters where pipes are damaged or contaminants leak into them. Water departments didn't treat their water because they lacked funds. Floods. We had a flood here, and it lasted about almost a month. And my neighbor's well went bad because all of the water that was leaching into the ground and went into their well water. And they had to have the whole system cleaned and all, their water purified before they could drink it again. I never had that problem. I have a deeper well. My well head was higher off the ground, so it didn't pour down that. And after I had it tested, I never really had that problem with my well. But those are things that you have to think about when you're dealing with this stuff. Okay, so let's talk about bartering. This is probably my last topic on this subject for today. we collect barter items because it's a great idea. But what about the things that you're going to barter with? What could kill you? Well, three things that I hear about a lot that come up as barter items are alcohol, tobacco, and coffee. I personally was collecting two of those for barter items, and one because I make my own medication with the alcohol. On the surface, they seem pretty dandy, I'm sure, but there definitely will be a huge demand. But the problem is that what makes them so valuable also makes them potentially deadly. These items are valuable because people are addicted to them. Even if you don't have a moral problem with taking advantage of someone's addictions, which I don't consider coffee advantage necessarily. I love coffee and I would probably kill for a cup if shit hits the fan, but I'm also the mind that I can do without it if I have to, once the headaches are gone. But you should at least consider the possibility that it may cost your family members their life. I was watching on one of the prepper shows on TV, this old couple that were stockpiling bottles of vodka and whiskey to use as barter items. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking? How safe do you think it's going to be that the Christian couple with the cellar full of booze, you know, are up there? I believe they were the ones that didn't have weapons either because they didn't believe in guns. I mean, right there, what? I don't even have to explain that, you know. Somebody with nothing to lose will decide to take it. And then, so they have a high regard for human life and no defense of firearms. And there's going to be looters or marauders. You know, that one's not going to be a happy ending. We all can kind of see where that's going. And it's not just alcohol either. Nicotine and caffeine withdrawal can turn a mild-mannered person into an ill-tempered man just as quick. Most of us fancy we can defend our homesteads with firearms. The truth is, including myself, we're going to pause or blink before we can bring ourselves to pull the trigger. We make mistakes, but some we can only make once. That's my reasoning for a group right there, because I know my weaknesses. Safer barter items. I would think that you can stock up on the other things, but there's going to be some other things that'll be in demand and maybe a bit safer to trade with. And I had and have some of these things. Canning jar lids. I have so many canning jar lids because you can't replace them. They have those ones that you can reuse now, but they're so new, I haven't really tried them out. But jars last a long time if you don't break them and you take care of them, but the lids are a single use. Candles. I went one step ahead of that, and I put away wax, beeswax, just wax crayons, everything I could find that could be melted into a candle. Toilet paper, it's eventually going to run out. I'm sure it's a good barter thing. I look at plants. We have some local plants that are used as toilet paper. And then I also put up felt. I went out and bought a bunch of felt and cotton, and I made basically reusable washcloths, and I put up a lot of bleach for cleaning. Sugar packets. When I go to a restaurant, I drink lots of coffee. I grab sugar packets. I'll just take what I usually use for my coffee and how many cups I'm planning on using. But if I don't use them all, the ones that I pulled, I'll take home. So maybe one packet I'll stick in my pocket. I also go to our local cash and carry and are those places where you go to a motel and then they have those sugar packets and coffee creamers in the little bags. I save those. If I don't use them, I'll take those out of the room that because they left them for me and I paid for them, basically. Lighters. There was an article we read a long time ago about lighters being worth their weight in gold at one of the third world countries. When the shit hit Kosovo, I believe it was, he said lighters were worth their weight in gold. Strike anywhere matches, that one's pretty obvious. Bandages, that is my big thing. I buy sheets at yard sales, I buy cotton, I buy gauze, I go online, I buy Kerlix, K-E-R-L-I-X. It's a wrap gauze bandage. We used it in nursing for massive, massive things. You can cut them into little sections. You can use them in long rolls, cotton batting, anything to use for bandages. If you have ever had a big hole in your leg, you realize how many bandages you go through for one wound. I'm telling you right now, most preppers are not prepared for the volume of bandages that you will go through if you got into a firefight or something like that. We talked about tampons with John doing his la 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 and Kotex, but I buy the flat pads because those are very useful. I've seen pros and cons about shoving a tampon into a bullet hole. My theory on that is if you're trying to get them out of a situation and into a safer situation, use what you have. After that, use the real stuff. And the last thing on it, this list, was fish antibiotics. Although they are getting harder and harder to find, I posted on John's CRM page a list of the fish antibiotics, the dosages, when to use them, what to use them for. Because most people don't know that. You get fish, one antibiotic does not work for everything. Different antibiotics work for different illnesses and skin issues and wounds and things like that. You need to know that. And you need to know the dosages, because if you just randomly start taking stuff, you're going to do really massive irreparable harm to your immune system. I didn't include ammunition, reloading components, precious metals on the safe list. While they're things you most certainly want to stock up on, they're not items to be known as a source of. Keep them to yourselves. Use them in an emergency, but don't advertise you have them. You're much less likely to have someone cut your throat over a roll of toilet paper than a box of 30-06. When the collapse happens, things are going to get ugly. Don't invite trouble that you might not be able or willing to handle. So these are some of the things. If you have any feedback on this, I would appreciate it if you went to Ladies of the Watch or if you went to CRN page and made a comment about this and bring up your own ideas that I may not have covered, because it's important for us to share information. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. I'm in the process of moving to a whole new situation, a whole new geography, topography, lifestyle. It probably won't be much of a lifestyle change just because I tend to gravitate towards what I know. But I would appreciate, I'm going to be surrounded by a lot more urban areas than I am right now. And that is something I've studied on a little bit, but I've always been pretty smug that I'm never going to have to deal with it. But it looks like I'm going to. So if you guys have some suggestions, please write, call, email, send me a carrier pigeon, and let me know what you think. John's got t-shirts for sale. If you like our shows, go support him. I bought three. If I can buy three, you can buy one. And tell him that he's doing a good job. What he's doing is really important. And surprisingly enough, I'm at the end of my show by myself without Don, and I have survived. So this has been Ladies of the Watch, prepping that can get you killed. Be safe out there and keep alert. It's getting ugly. Thank you and have a good night.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More. Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.